Hello and welcome to a special edition of Sleeping Giants. Today I am joined by my fellow sports writer Mike Bacon and our special guest, who has become one of the most respected managers in non-league football and a man with an encyclopedic knowledge of the game in East Anglia and the Eastern Counties. He'll make his last appearance in the dugout at Colchester United on Monday when his Needham Market side face Lowestoft Town in the Suffolk Premier Cup final. I am, of course, talking about Mark Moseley, who will be moving upstairs at Bloomfield to become chairman of the Market Men next season. Mark, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Chris. Yep.
Are you well and ready for the big game next week?
I think so. We seem to have got a clean bill of health, which is obviously important. And we're looking forward to it. We've had a couple of weeks break, sort of thing, just for the lads to get a bit fresher and a bit of a rest where required, but we are looking forward to the game.
Mm-hmm. And how do you assess the end to the season and how it ended for your side?
It's got to be said, we're a little bit disappointed in some respects. So you can't help, in one regard, standing back and looking at where we finished and looking at what we did in the season compared mm-hmm. to last season, and the fact that we kicked on more than we expected to. But then when you've got yourself in the playoff positions the whole season and at one stage top in the league, to actually sort of fall away was a little bit of a disappointment. But it's life, it's football. We've been there many times before. I'm still immensely proud of what the players and the staff have achieved this year, and it's a great platform to kick on for future years, hopefully.
And of course, just before the end of the season, you announced that you're going to be stepping upstairs next season, Richard Wilkins taking over as manager at Needham. Have you had any second thoughts since then? Any regrets? Obviously, the last of Mark Moseley in the dugout?
No, not at all, no. I mean, I think when I have second thoughts, I probably couldn't answer that today. I mean, I suspect that 2 months into the season, you know, if things are going very well or very badly, you might feel, what if. But the reality is, it's the right time for me personally. It's the right time for the football club. You know, having a guy like Richard Wilkins in our building for last year is one of the reasons we were successful. I've said many times, and I'm not just bigging him up, I think he's the most successful non-league manager and certainly the best non-league manager in the region. Why he's not in a pro club is beyond me. Perhaps he has chose not to do that. I don't know, but unfortunately, it's one of those little bugbears of mine that as many very good non-league managers never seem to be given a chance at the pro level. But he's in the building. It's right, I think, for him to do that job. The management staff with Tom Rotherby coming over previously at Brighton Region as our head coach is very, very good as well. Nathan Munster staying the goalkeeping coach. We've got a new physio joining us next year. Mm-hmm. So the management team is strong. The squad is in a good place with a really, really good average age of youngsters and exciting times. And so it's right for the football club. It suits me with my business is expanding, which clearly is my priority, and that's good. But there's a lot of good things I can do in that position because it's not going to be a traditional chairman role where I'll spend all the time telling people how successful I've been in the past and all the rest of it. It'll be more a case of quite hands-on. Mm-hmm. It'll be a sounding board for Wilkes and the staff. It'll be a sounding board for Steve Foley and the academy staff with the academy teams. And it's an important part of that job is to push forward the brand Needham and the things we're trying to develop, which I think in many ways are quite unique in non-league football. Certainly not many clubs are operating the way we plan to operate, and I think that I'll have an important role in that.
We'll talk more about Needham later, but let's go back to the beginning in your career as a manager or as assistant. Was with Steve McGavin at Harwich Parks, and is that correct?
Yeah, that's quite right. My first job in what would be considered non-league football was at Harwich with Steve McGavin. When we mention Harwich and Parks today, a lot of people will think they're a broader league team, mm-hmm. which they obviously are at the moment, which is a tragedy in many ways, but some of us older...
Don't you look at me when you say that.
some of us have been around the block a bit longer and know that Harwich and Parks have got a fantastic history, and at that time they were a very strong... what was Deuceham League Premier Division, which mm-hmm. is still going on now. But we have to remember in them days, you know, that division had got the last offs in this world and the AFC Sudbury's and I mean, not even Needham were in that level actually. Needham were in Division 1 at that stage. And so Steve was a big signing for Harwich and Parkston. He came in as a player manager, which he found a little bit difficult to deal with. I had actually been interviewed for the job of manager at that time. I'd been quite successful at junior level with as a manager, and was known to Tony Armstrong, the chairman, and obviously Steve Cobello didn't get the job, but then after a few weeks he needed someone with him, and Tony, oh, sort of, as I said, approached me and said, would you step in as his number two, which to my mind was a great move, because if you want to learn in life, sometimes you maybe need to step back to step forward, although I didn't see an assistant manager's job with him as a step back, and I had, you know, as only a matter of months really, but I had a great time with Steve, I have to say, and learnt a lot off him. In terms of ideas in the dressing room and ideas with the way the game is played. So that was where it all started, and that was a good grounding, I believe.
And then you've gone on and you've obviously managed Sudbury, Needham, Leiston. What stands out for you in your managerial career? What would be the highlight? I'm guessing Needham now at the moment is up there, but is there anything else that stands out?
I've been fortunate really, because I've done all right. I've been quite successful as a manager, and I think there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that I know what I'm good at and what my limitations are, and I've always had good staff, and on the back of that, I've always had good players. And I know that my great friend Steve Foley told me a story when he was at Norwich, when he spoke to Alex Ferguson and said to Alex Ferguson, you know, Alex, you've done so well. What's the secret of your success? I can't do a Scottish accent, so I won't try, but Ferguson said good players.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. But good players, it's not just about how good they are as footballers, it's how good they are as men and as people, and all those things are very, very important. So I've had a lot of highs, but I've had some real lows. I'd probably have to say, and this is not being politically correct, but if you said to me what was the highlight of my football career, I'd have to say going back to Needham this time in 2013, and the club saying to me, you lay the blueprint for our success. You know, we trust you, we're behind you, and they have been that way completely. And last season when we struggled, there was never any issue about my job or where we were going to go. It was just part of the development. So that was a high off the pitch, I'd have to say. That was a high off the pitch. If you're looking for highs on the pitch, I'd have to say us beating Chatham 5-1 to win Division 1, Roman Division 1 North was a massive high, because we'd got where we wanted to go, we were ahead of our target, the game couldn't have been better, it was a lovely day, there was hundreds of Needham fans there, Michael Brothers scored the finest non-league goal I've ever seen, Ian Westlake put on the finest individual performance of any player I've ever seen, you know, to win a game of football, and obviously that was a you know, and a week earlier we'd won the league within minutes of winning the league against Harlow. They equalised in injury time to take it to the last game of the season. So that was clearly a real high, because we then got ourselves into Roman Premier, which was a huge thing for Needham and a great day.
And Mike, just turning to you, you've had some highs reporting on Mark's teams, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. He'll be a great character. We're losing from the dugout, albeit it's going to be staying around non-league football. What have your memories of reporting on Mark and his teams?
Well, yeah, interesting really. The best story I always have was going right back to his days. I think it was when you played Tiptree. Do you remember we played a game at Tiptree?
First
time. And I phoned you up to do a preview, and this is why I like Mark. To be fair, I like all the non-league managers because they're all very straight, and that's why I love the sport so much, because they're so easy to deal with. I said to Mark, you know, they was playing Tiptree, and he came out with the classic quote, "We'll win, and not one of their players is good enough to even get in my team." And I put that in the paper. I said, "You're happy for me to quote you? You can quote me on that," he said. So off I went, put it in the paper. I believe they pinned it on their dressing room wall and beat you 4-1 or something, or 5-1. Quite heavily. And I was reporting on the game. And Mr. Morsey was strolling off the pitch with his clipboard in hand, as he usually does, still looking fairly confident about life. And I walked up and said, "So you don't think any of them are getting your team still?" "Maybe the striker," he said. "That's all." One person he picked out. They just give him. But no, obviously Mark is going to be missed from the dugout for sure. But of course, you had a little season out for the dugout anyway, sort of thing, didn't you? When you sat with Danny, when Danny took. Well, you were still involved in the dugout, but you weren't upstairs, I suppose.
I was general manager, but I spent every game in the dugout, so
it wasn't quite the same. But the thing about Mark, and the thing about all the non-league guys, is they're very honest and very genuine, and you get proper quotes off them. You know, professional football, I'm afraid, is so sanitised. Non-league is fantastic. Mark is as class for that, and it's just great. I've enjoyed watching them from the when that you used to have a huge white scarf down at Harwich Park, if I remember.
Still
you
got
a,
it.
Have you?
Still got it.
Long
yeah,
old, huge thing. Long old suit you used to wear. Long old jacket you used to wear, and a great scarf around your neck.
Like a Doctor Who scarf.
Doctor Who thing. It was. I used to. So sitting in the grand old stand at Harwich there, which of course. Just a quick word of Harwich. If you ever get a chance to go down there, you must go down. It must be a wonderful, wonderful old place.
Yeah,
isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, it's
Tony Armstrong and does such great stuff there. And you know, you've got to remember, Sudbury, Leicester, and Needham Market are three of the top non-league clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not. You know, you talk to manage all of them with success is great credit. And I'm not going to sort of talk him up too much because we'll never get him out the door. But I mean, it is a fact that you know the facts are facts and. You know, Sudbury and Leicester and Needham Market are three very strong clubs in this area, and Mark's managed to walk a high level. I admire him because I think it takes. And what I think I admire about him most is he summed it up when he said he knows his. Well, you can always talk your abilities up.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to talk your limitations up, but he's happy to always do that and say, "Look, I've got my limitations. I know what they are," and that's why he's such a good manager. Because sometimes managers try to take on too much. They try to do everything themselves, and that's the worst thing you can sometimes do.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mike mentioned that example at Tiptree then, so you have obviously made mistakes or errors of judgment in the past. You learn from them though, obviously, don't you? And it makes you a better person.
Yeah, the one of the things with me in life is I'm full of these little one-liners, and they're great. One-liners are great ways of having, you know, setting your path in the right way and doing things in the right way. And certainly, I've often said, if you can't deal with defeat, you can't be a winner. And dealing with defeat is being honest and as to why you lost a game or why something went wrong. And it's very easy to say it's the ref's fault or it was the pitcher's fault or it was the ball, it was this, it was that, all the rest of it. But my attitude has always been in business as well as in football is if something goes wrong, the first person I look at is me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm the person, and I've stood in dressing rooms many times, and instead of you know, shouting and hollering and giving the players a hard time, I've stood there and said, "Guys, it was me today. I made that decision wrong. I'll take the blame." And that honesty, I think, has always put me in good stead. And I think that honesty gives me has allowed me to be respected by a lot of people, which I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier on about some managers not getting a chance at a higher level, and it's a bit of a crying shame. How do you see the local managers in this area at the moment, and what qualities do they bring, the likes of Jamie Godbold, Glenn Driver, Ben Chenery?
I think it's very difficult. I mean, Mike makes a really good point about the fact that it's very difficult. He makes a good point, about the fact that the non-league managers are honest bunch, and there's a real difference between non-league football and the pro game.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, with some clubs. The perception from the people behind the scenes is that they're slightly more than they are, and I think often that managers don't get given the time to be successful. You know, we can look at the program and really, you know, Wenger at Arsenal, Ferguson at Manchester United, would they have been that successful without the length of time they had? You know, I think one of the key things about people mentioning the managers is that where those managers are, the clubs need to give them time.
Mm.
You know, Jamie's did so well last year with Sudbury, you know, but he's been relegated this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd be furious if he wasn't given a chance to put that right wrong, because AFC Sudbury are a club who should be at step three as a minimum. They've got a facility that's almost at a pro level, you know, and they've got the infrastructure in place. And you know, I really feel that in years to come, they will be one of the foremost non-league football clubs, not just in the region, in the country, and I believe that Needham will be there as well. And I think that's all to do with infrastructure. So I think Jamie has got potential. You know, I know Jamie. I've known Jamie. I tried to sign him a few times. He was a good footballer. People forget that. You know, very good footballer. And I think he'll make a very good manager. So, which is fine. Ben over at Bury. You know, let's be honest. Bury have had a difficult situation. They've struggled since Wilkes left. Again, they're probably punching below their weight, because you know, even in Division One, they're still getting very big crowds. And I have to say, I like Ben. I think he's a I think he's a good lad, and I really hope he does well. I think overall there's some good managers around, you know, I really do. And but it's difficult. It's difficult. Adie Gallagher at Lowestoft. I mean, he's a great lad, Adie. I'm looking forward to seeing him on Monday. You know, he's had terrible time from the supporters. Because they're frustrated and this and the other, but you know, he lost his reserve team in the academy. I'm not giving any secrets; that's been well recorded. I mean, I could I be successful with a squad of players and no backup? Of course I couldn't. Who could? You know. So there's lots of good people out there, and I think it's important that the clubs realise how good these people are. And certainly I'd give Gary Cazor some credit up at Lowestoft, because he's had a lot of growth and supporters, but he's stuck by Eddie, and I think Eddie's going to be there again next season, and I really hope he does really well.
Forgot to mention Wilkes as well there. Richard Wilkins obviously was taking over from yourself. But Mike, do you agree with Mark that non-league football, the bigger clubs in Suffolk are all in good hands in terms of the management they've got there and the way they're looking ahead to the future?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been covering non-league probably about more than 20 years now around here, and this is probably it's as strong now as it has been. I mean, you know, if we take Brightling see them now in the Ryman Premier League as well, you know, which is fantastic. I mean, Terry Doherty down there and Jamie Webster, I mean, you know, how fantastic they've done.
Oh,
you know,
James,
I mean,
James phenomenal.
Tremendous.
You know, what a success story that is at Brighton.
Mm. And they've got a lot of work to do. They'll know that. They will have to strengthen. They'll have to strengthen up and be, you know, but they've got a great infrastructure there. They've got a good, solid committee there, quite clearly. So we lose Sudbury out of the Ryan Prem. But I mean, you know, they've got. As Mark said, they should be back. You know, Leicester continue to do so well. They've don't have a very big squad. They continue to do well. I mean, they've finished top of the pile. You know, out of the Suffolk clubs, really. And fair play to them for that. They've got an experienced team. And quite a strong team, quite a strong set of squad, if you like. Needham have a lot of younger players, would be fair to say. You know, Leicester have quite a strong experience. I know they're looking to bring more youngsters into their team, but they'll find, probably like Mark finds, a lot of the teams find. Ryan Prem is a very strong league, physically strong. You know, you've got to know your stuff, and you've got to be prepared and be ready. But we've got some strong teams. You know, those four, Brightling, Sea, Leicester, Sudbury, you know, Lowestoft are all up there. You know, Bennett, Berry, oh gosh, I'd love to see them back in. You know,
brilliant for the
well, they get a great set of fans. In fact, they probably have, I don't know, highest aggregate of fans, one of the highest aggregate fans in the region, really, average of over 300.
Yeah,
you know, they're pretty. I mean,
below Lowestoft, they're the second best. Yeah.
I think the best, you know, they've got a tremendous set of fans. And again, in Russell Ward, you know, they've got someone who's been there a long time, wants such great success for the club. Suffolk football's. It's in good shape, Mark, isn't it? Mm. I mean, I think it's in really good Suffolk non-league football's in really good shape. You know, it's as strong as I can remember. You know, I used to just have one or two, you know, and now you're talking three or four. And Brighton, see, like I say, just in North Essex, you know, some, you know, this Maldon Tiptree just missed out, unfortunately. Otherwise, that could have been another global club from around here.
I think that the thing is if we go back to years when, you know, the Eastern Counties League, which is what the third unknown is called now. You know, when you had Sudbury were the main player, because obviously they were in the Vars finals and they were very successful and they had the best players and the biggest budget. But once clubs started moving up the ladder, and I can remember that in my third year at Needham the first time, we were the first club who said that actually we are going to get promoted to the Royal League if we can. And I'm not trying to be clever, that was our foresight. To us, the problem is if you don't develop and move on, you stagnate and go backwards, and we felt that Eastern County football would do that. So once clubs started moving up the ladder, and we finished fourth that year, Lowestoft won the league, but that particular season there was three promotion places, and Bury and Sudbury took the promotion places because I went to Sudbury the next season as manager. Once that started happening, other clubs are saying, well, I want to get hold of their shirt tails and be dragged along with them. Do you know what I mean? And because there are 4, 5, 6 good clubs, and there's certainly 2 or 3 clubs who have and at the end of the day, you know, Lowestoft set the standard. They moved forward after their fantastic Vars run. I know they lost in the final, but that really galvanised their support base, and they moved on into the Conference League. Unfortunately, the North Division probably didn't do them any favours financially, but they were the club. They set the standard, and they were and certainly, you know, in the 3 years at Leicester and those successful, we were always targeted. Catching up to Lowestoft, you know, and so having that has been good. And now you've got a situation where, you know, it's great for Suffolk, it's great for your travelling and great for your local derbies. But you know, I'm looking at Leicester every week, and they're looking at Needham, and we're looking at Sudbury, and they're looking at Lowestoft, and all that sort of stuff gives you that little edge. You know what I mean? That little bit of rivalry, which I never think really gets out of hand. I think sometimes things are said in the heat of the moment, but. There's never really been any all-out warfare, I don't think, between Suffolk clubs, but that competition is very healthy.
Yeah,
and I think it's one of the reasons why things have developed, because someone's always pushing it, you know, and Leicester being the top dog in Suffolk this year, and they've set the standard for next season.
we talk about strong clubs in the area, but all strong clubs need a good set of players to get them where they are. So with that in mind, Mark, over the period of time that you've worked as a manager, who would you say it's been your best signing?
Best signing?
Mm. In terms of what they've done for the club.
Best signing in terms of new player would have to be a lad that I signed twice. I signed him at Sudbury from Halstead, and I signed him at Leyston from Sudbury, and that was Gareth Heath.
Right.
Who played for me at Harry's, played for me at Sudbury, played for me at Leyston. He's played hundreds of games of football for me, and as a player, certainly one of the best all-time non-league players I'll say in the region. Probably, I know Steve Foley said when we came to Leicester, Steve said, "How's that boy not played in the pro game?" And practiced. I think a broken ankle sort of knocked him from a move to Scottish football, I believe, some years ago at the wrong time. But he certainly was a good player for me.
You're not surprised to see him still playing at a very good level as well.
No, he's still a good player, looked after himself, keeps himself fit.
That's the thing with Heath, isn't it? He's tremendously fit, and I don't know how old he is, he's in the mid-30s.
36 or so.
Yeah, he's still fantastic. He's a great example for players to look at how to conduct yourself in non-league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and not just to treat it as just a game of football, but treat it a little bit more, just give you that little extra more than that, and I imagine he's been good for you.
He was a good player for me, really, after soaking the fault, you know, we went to a lot of great wins and a lot of great successes together, and you know, he's got a young I think I'm okay to say this, but his son he's got a place in our academy next year at Needham,
right.
So you know, and hopefully as a club we're going to nurture the next generation of Heath, you know, if he's as good as his dad, then that'd be something to look forward to.
I'll put you on the spot slightly, Mike, but is there anyone that this player for Mark that stands out for you in terms of your time covering?
I don't know. No, I wouldn't take individual players because I've just watched his teams throughout, really. I mean, I do. I think signing Ian Westlake was a good signing for him out at Needham. I think that was a particularly good signing. But no, I think overall, like I say, Mark's teams, he's always got good stuff out of the players he's bought. Like, who's the young lad you're on right back now who's come from your academy?
Jake Dye.
Things like just stuff like that happening within the clubs he's managed, you know. Just Jake, you know, he's suddenly come on. I mean, he's only 17, isn't he?
He's 18 now.
18, yeah. But I mean, what, you know, cracking little player, you know.
He was 17 when he came in the side, and he's played 60 plus games at Ryman Premier right back. I mean he's one of the best prospects I've seen. He's a really great kid. He's got a really great mum and dad who are grounded, and they trust me and they trust the football club, and he's done very, very well.
And of course you mix someone like a young guy like him in the same team as Kem, is it, you know, and that's what you blend from in non-league, you know, and that's I despair sometimes with the programme where they won't give youngsters a chance with experienced players, because that's how they learn, you know, and that's how they improve. So I wouldn't pick one player out now, but
very much with Needham, they're very much the part of what I aim to do was that, you know, you can spend your money on journeyman non-league players, or you can put something down that you believe in. And you know, our academy's in year six now, and it goes from strength to strength. It's more full-time scholars next year, so it'd be crazy not to use that. But the fact of the matter is that who's going to give the experience to these young lads as they come through? Kem obviously came in. We had Ian Westlake, we had Chris Hogg. You know, they're all, you know, very good ex-pros, of course Ian Miller as well, the last couple of years, and them youngsters have learned from them, and all those guys have given something back to the game, which I respect them for.
And in terms of your best 11, I don't know how hard this has been for you to dissect over the last week or so, but have you got anything in mind?
You were very kind to give me a heads up if you're going to ask that question.
I told him to put you on the spot. I said it was this could take for about 45 minutes just to get this out. But
there you go. Well, I have picked a team. I mean, shall I go through it and give you a little brief?
Yeah, just a little bit on each.
Okay. Right, well, the best thing I've kind of picked the 4-3-3 formation. I've picked the 4-2-3-1 formation, which is the one I sort of like. So, goalkeeper, my goalkeeper coach now, Nathan Munson.
Yeah.
OBE.
Yeah, of course, OBE. For services to in the police force, got done a fantastic career football-wise, and obviously in his own. He's been a lieutenant with me for years. He was with me at Leicester. He's been with me at Needham as a goalkeeping coach. As a player, all I can say about him is that he had the ability. There was two things he was good at. One makes you laugh is that he perfected the camera dive. So whenever he made a save, it was always looked very, very, very good. And if he got a picture, he always looked fantastic. But secondly, he had the ability. A player could hit a shot at Mono, the best shot he'd ever hit, and he'd just take it out, he'd pluck it out like picking an apple off a tree, and as if to say, is that all you've got? Mm. You know what I mean? He had that air of confidence. And so he, without a doubt, was the best goalkeeper. And on top of that, also, he had the ability, he'd walk in the dressing room and people would sort of like take a breath.
Yeah.
And then carry, he had that presence about him as well. And he's done, to be fair, he's done two or three team talks for me at half time. He's been so furious with the performance. He's come in and carved the players up. And I've never said anything because I'm frightened as well when he's going on, you know. So he'd be the best. Back four, I think it's too early to say with Jake Dyer, though. Jake was, I have to say, I'll mould this over about him and Jake. But be right back. One of the nicest guys I've met in football. Exceptional Yonley footballer. As a lad, played me at something called Brett Gerland. Brett played me right back and centre half. He's only about 3 foot tall, but he had this incredible ability of winning headers against big guys. He was so clever. Just as a player would jump, he'd give him a little nudge and he'd win the header. And I've seen forwards 6 foot plus who are pulling their hair out. They can't understand how this guy 5 foot six has beaten him in the air. But he was a great, great guy. Never got beaten. So he'd be the right back. We left back. It's got to be Kevin Horlock. I've had some good left backs. Shane Wardley obviously was good, and Darrell Coakley has been with me for a few years at Nathan, but Kev played for me under Danny Laws. Great lad. I mean, I spoke to him, funny enough, last night. He's obviously lost his playoff for Molden and he was a bit down, and we had a chat on the phone and said any other. Of course, he's a Man City, fan, as you probably know. He's a Man City legend, and so that's you know, he's definitely left back. Two centre halves, the right side of centre half or whichever, the number five. Without doubt, the finest non-league footballer I've ever worked with, and he's still a young man. I glow with pride when this lad played for Ipswich under-21s last year in a trial game against QPR, and Mick McCarthy said it was the second best trial game he'd ever seen behind Tyrone Mings, and that's a lad called Kieran Moorfield, who's come through our academy. He's very much the, we used to call him the poster boy, but he's such an ugly side, he wouldn't describe him as a poster boy for our academy, but a phenomenal, he can play centre half, plays right back, plays centre midfield, he'd play anywhere, but he's an immense player and it's been a massive part of what I've done at Needham. And
can he still make it at the pro game, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Steve, going back to Steve Foley, when Steve came in every other week, Steve would say to me, someone come in for Kieran, he just couldn't believe no one had come in for him, you know. And but he's on a long contract with us at Needham with a pro club, he's now 23, and but hey, you know, he's a incredible guy. The other centre half, captain fantastic, who's to describe him. He was my captain at Sudbury, he was my captain at Leiston. Just a great guy, from a great family. His dad is one of the most respected men in Suffolk football. He's got a brother who played for me as well, who I like immensely, I like him all, but David Head would be the other centre half who obviously played for me, as I said, Sudbury. Just a phenomenon, just a great centre half, led by example. If there was ever a player who would make other people play based on his performances, that was him, you know. And he's a good lad, and I like him immensely. So me two in front of me, about four. Got to mention Kem Izzet. Kem obviously came with me early on when I was at Needham. You can see why he was captain of Colchester for years. You can see why he'd done so well in the pro game. He would be my captain in this team, although there's other captains out there, but he's got something about him. We've had massive rows in dressing rooms and this and the other, but I've immense respect for him. I like him immensely. And actually, the team that won the Region 1 North, there was games when we were struggling and he dragged us through, and he was outstanding. So he'd be in front of me about four. Alongside him, now this will surprise one or two, but there's a lad called Neil Calver. Who I suspect a lot of people will remember for getting booked and sent off to Neil played for me at Sudbury and at Leiston. We convinced him to play a deeper role in the Sudbury team, and he was, I just think, was an outstanding player. He's recognisable because he's very blonde, and hard as nails. He'd hit challenges, but he could pass a ball, he could head a ball, he could score goals. Very much an underrated player, but he'd always be in my team. And actually, anyone who's played for me and Neil played in the team would say, yeah, Carroll's car here. I wouldn't want to mix with him, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So he was a, and at the end of the day, if my front four are going to play, they need someone looking after the business end, and that would be Cam, and obviously there would be as well. So the front four, mix them any way you want. One of them is going to be Luke Ingram, mm-hmm. who's a lad who's obviously with me at Needham.
Yep.
Just an outstanding player, a great lad. He's got better and better and better, and I actually think he's one of the best offensive players in the division at our level, and he's still a baby, he's still 22 or whatever, so he'll get better and better, and certainly on his day, pace both sides, left side, right side, good in the air, scores goals. I think he's got 18, 19 goals from midfield this year, which is not bad. Wide midfield as well, and he's played sometimes at wing back, so you know, so he's in the frame. The front three actually are the front three I had in my best time at Sudbury. The other wide player would be a guy called Matty Clements. Matty was a pro at Cambridge United, that's right, yeah. John Beck, Matty could have been a England hurdler, 110 metre hurdler, or a footballer, and he preferred football, and it's the quickest thing you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anything like the first 15 yards. And John Beck signed him because John Beck played a very direct game of football years ago, and you could smash the ball over the top of the Clemo and he'd be there, and he got a year's contract, not about that. But I saw him play at this, and it was just a phenomenon, he just really was. And when I went to Needham, my second year, I nearly got him, third year he came and played for us. And then he played with me at Sudbury, and just unplayable on his day. He was quick, and you know, but he didn't have a left foot, so that was, you know, so he had to play the right side. His left foot was outstanding on. So Gareth Heath, I mentioned Gareth Heath. Gareth plays the role just in behind the striker. Goals, work ethic, you name it. You know, I mean, looks after himself, fitness wise. You know, and it's been a really important part of my career and success. And to say, we hopefully see his son come through and be really successful with us. And up front, a lad called Jamie Rowe. Jamie Rowe played for me last year at Needham and then came to Sudbury. His dad, Colin Rowe, Midgey Rowe, is a local manager, obviously. But Rowe, he was a handful. He's like all strikers, all goal scorers. They're a little bit egotistic. But again, like with Ingers, he needed someone who could manage him. And I think I did a good job there. Phenomenally quick over the first 50 to score goals, and that front three in that Sudbury side in the first year while I was there, which was Heathy, Rowe and Clemo. Unfortunately, the three of them picked up an injury at the wrong end of the season for us at Sudbury, but that kind of knocked us back. But on their day, they were almost unplayable. So Rowe would be the, and I've played with a lot of good strikers. I had a lot not played with them. Managed a lot of the strongest, but Rowe would be the man up front, I have to say. So, and yeah, I'm pleased with that. I like the look of that team. So,
Mike, you agree? Is a good team there?
Sounds all right to me. Yeah, doesn't. Yeah, it's. I think Clements was an excellent player, and you know, some people just following the game now won't know him, but I mean, he was an excellent player. And Brett Gerland, of course, forgot about Brett. I mean, at Sudbury, he was a huge part of the Sudbury. I think he played with the Vars finally.
He did, yeah.
Vars,
yeah. I think he played for Keith Martin. So he played for Gary. I mean, he played for me, you know.
Excellent. So. And of course, Kevin Horlock. You know, his thing with Kevin Horlock is he was a pro who played for Man City at the highest level and yet dropped down to and just gave it 110% and treated press correctly, because I'm going to speak from press, but with respect, as well as obviously his teammates and his management. That says a lot about him. And that's why Molden had done so well. One of the reasons they've done so well.
He lost. He managed Molden. They lost at the final on Sunday. The mark of the man is that he went on the coach, on the thorough coach, and congratulated them all for the next season. Yeah. And I tell you, my record in playoffs is appalling. I've never won a playoff game, and I've been in tears after playoff games. To be big enough to go and do that tells you a bit about him.
Yeah. And of course, Neil Calver's in there, which I've reported on Neil Calver many times, but. Mainly for card offences, but he is an excellent player. I mean, he is just what you want. I mean, if you're a manager of a football club, he can play as well. People think he just kicks people. He doesn't kick people. I mean, he could play up. He scored some great goals.
Yeah.
I think, did he go Hadley?
Yes.
I remember Hadley recently in the last sort of few years ago. I mean, just decent player. Yeah, not a bad 11.
Well, that was Mark's best 11. Just finally then, Mark, before we finish, looking ahead? We touched on it earlier. You're going to be moving upstairs at Needham. Are you looking forward to the future and what it holds for yourself at the club?
I think so. I think the club is in a good place. As I said, we probably, you know, I don't want to talk down about what's happened this year because you know, at the beginning of the season, we set ourselves targets. They're realistic targets. You know, our aim was to become established at step three. We want to be competitive at this level. It's a good level. It's the crowds like it. And, you know, I said to Graham Emerson, our chief executive, at the beginning of the season, my target was 10th, and I wanted to get our average gate up to 300 because I'm consistently looking to push the gates up, which gives you fixed income, increases your fixed income, which is very, very important. And you have to think about things as a football club in business senses as well. And we didn't finish 10th, we finished 9th, but we didn't get to 300. Our average gate was 298. So
not far away.
So if you paid to come in, you might have got up to 300.
Yeah, I know. Here you go. But if you paid to come in,
I should pay to come in.
But I mean the academy. You know, we've got obviously Steve is in charge of the academy, which is massive. But let's not forget about our academy. You know, Rob Peace is the academy director who does the education. Football academies are not about just about football. They're about their next step in education. And one of the things that the lads, you know, we've got every year we look to bring players out of our academy and they're given first team contracts. And this year, three lads, Kieran Turner, Will Kreisel, and Danny Knights, have come through either from the academy or part of the academy gut team. And they've got contracts with the first team, 2 year contracts with the first team. Now, whether they'll make the first team this year or whether they go out on loan remains to be seen. But we look to achieve that every year. But the lads who are on these contracts, like Jake Dye was, it's not just about the football, because I say to the academy director, if that lad Welsh is on his education, if he's not doing what needs to be done for his education, I need to know. And he'll lose his place in the first team. Doesn't matter how well he's played, if he's not doing his education. And when I've met parents, as I have done, and talked about where their player could go, the dad is always interested in the fact that his son might be a professional footballer one day, but mum wants to hear about education. And with no disrespect, the chances of any of those academy boys in the past, now, and the future making it in the pro game is remote. Chances are they'll be able to have a good non-league career, but they've got to have a job, they've got to have an income. So their education is really important. So that's a key part of our success, because right from the off, when ours was set up, the football side was important, but the education side is important as well. So that we'll see that develop going forward with more scholars and more success. I know we've had excellent Ofsted reports from what we've done in the past, which is really, really important. And you know, people might say, well, how is that good for your football club? It's massive for the football club, because it's about the Needham brand. It's about the brand Needham must go forward. We've obviously got Steve Foley running as head coach. Couldn't have a better coach of young men in the country, bar none. And anyone you talk about Steve Foley, I'm sure Mike would agree, anyone anywhere would say what a top man he is. And we're so lucky to have him. And he's a great friend of mine. I'm going to buy him a curry on Saturday. I think him and his wife Heather, which I look forward to immensely, as they're friends of ours. But he's very important. So that infrastructure is great. Mm-hmm. And we've got Aaron Hall, and we've got Jake Dye, he works for our academy part-time. We look to get our lads in. You know, we've got agreements with other colleges and other employers where we get players to go off on apprenticeships. It's a bigger picture behind the scenes, you know, than just the first team. And you know, this is a long term plan for the football club. And I said many times that when I was first interviewed for the job, and I got the job 15 years ago, what impressed me about them at the time was, they'd got the ground bought and paid for and owned. Everything was in place before they started wanting to push the football club on. And it's about building blocks. And if you build a house with no footings, the house sinks. And Needham Market Football Club have got footings that have been put in for many, many years. And things have moved on, and the ground is unrecognisable now. But we're not finished. We're not finished yet. We'll keep looking to move forward. And you know, there's going to be some exciting announcements about developments at the Bloomfield site in the next few weeks, it's a great football club. So I think there's good times ahead, but there'll be bad times ahead, and we might struggle next year. We won't have the season, and if we start badly, you know, we will have to deal with that. But Richard and his team have got my backing, and I'm the man in the position to give that back. And you know, if Needham might get relegated next year, he'll still be the manager, and we'll still be doing what we're doing. We'll still bring youngsters through, and we'll still work the way we work, and we'll still welcome you guys in the press, and we'll still be a club who are well liked by other people, and that's what we do.
Well, I'm sure there'll be many more successful times ahead as a club rather than failures. I'm sure it's looking bright for the future. Mark, thank you very much for your time and coming in to speak to us this morning. Good luck with everything in the future, and well done on everything you've achieved in the past.
Thanks. Really
big good luck for Monday night against Lowestoft.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, I obviously, I'm going to say lots of nice things about 80, but you're still going to want to beat me on Monday without a doubt. But it'd be nice to finish on a high. But do you know what? If we don't finish on a high, it'll be another example of how, as a club, we'll take defeat and we'll move on. And that's why we'll be winners, because we know how to lose, although we're not proud to.
I must say good luck to Lowestoft as well, being a fellow East Anglian club. Mike Bacon, thanks very much for joining us this morning. That's the latest edition of Sleeping Giants done. I'm Chris Brammer, and until next time, thank you and goodbye.